Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway in Austin, Texas. My foundation exists to equip and empower church leaders in reaching new people and raising up leaders. I'm the author of Not Like Me and Fruitful, Becoming Who God Created You to Be. Join me on social media for Through the New Testament for Skeptics and Seekers. And be sure to sign up for my email newsletter where you can receive free resources at ericbryant.org. In today's episode, I have with me Dr. Alan Yeh. How are you doing, Alan?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Eric.
So we go way back through your cousin, Mervin. Yeah. Mervin and Edith, we were part of a Mosaic together in Pasadena. You've been, I guess, connected to Mervin your whole life.
That's right. In fact, we were born in the island of Guam, just 1 year apart.
Yeah. Is that right?
We go all the way back.
Wow. Well, I saw you posting on Facebook the other day about a lecture you gave, and it really intrigued me. I wanted to spend some time with you listening. Our church leaders, some are pastors, some are people involved a great deal in their church, and we're trying to reach our increasingly diverse post-Christian world. And I feel like you have some insight. You're working with college students at Biola. But you're also an author, an academic. Let's talk a little bit about maybe in the 15 years you've been at Biola, how have you seen the landscape of those you're teaching change, if at all?
Absolutely. Well, one of my areas of research is actually Generation Z. I don't actually have a book on that, but I have written a chapter in a book about it. But Generation Z is increasingly diverse, right? And they value diversity. And while there are definitely some challenges, such as mental health crises, et cetera, but there's also a lot of opportunities. I like to tell people that actually Christianity presents one of the best opportunities, because if diversity is what Gen Z values, well, Christianity has diversity in spades. Because, you know, if you look at the composition of Christianity around the world, it is the most diverse religion in the world. It covers every ethnicity, every continent, every geography, every culture, and no other religion can actually claim that. So I sort of feel like if this is what Gen Z is really drawn to, then I'm like, they should be drawn to Christianity theoretically.
Hearing what you're saying, I love this idea of seeing Christianity as an opportunity. And Gen Z, as you described, certainly there's mental health issues growing up in a world. I mean, think about it. They don't know world without 9/11. They don't know the world, what the world was like before the financial crisis of 2008. So they're growing up with a whole lot more anxiety than some of us who are a little bit older would. I want to talk about a couple of your books. It's got an intriguing title, Polycentric Missiology. Do you have a copy near you?
I do, in fact. Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about
this. Yeah. What does this mean? 21st century mission from everyone to everywhere. Talk a little bit about the premise behind the book.
Absolutely. So one of the things I did was trace the development and changes in mission in the last 100 years. So at the beginning of the 20th century, mission was from the West to the rest. And then at the beginning of the 21st century, mission is from everyone to everywhere. And so this, even though the title may sound intimidating, polycentric missiology, what is that all about, right? Well, missions is something people understand, but polycentric means many centers. So if you look at most religions in the world, they all have a center, right? Obviously, Islam has Mecca. Hinduism has Varanasi, which is in northern India. Even in Buddhism has Sarnath, and even Mormonism has Salt Lake City, right? So all of these religions have this like capital city, if you will. Judaism has Jerusalem. Christianity does not. Now you might say, wait a minute, isn't it Jerusalem? Well, no, that's more for Judaism, right? Like we don't as Christians feel this necessity to make a pilgrimage to, you know, some sort of holy city the way that Muslims do with Mecca or whatever, you know. We may visit Jerusalem as a matter of historical curiosity and say, well, this is cool. That's where Jesus was. But we don't feel like it's a necessary part of our spiritual journey. So polycentric just means there's many centers, which means there is no ethnicity or country or culture which lays claim to have the monopoly on Christianity. And I actually think that's good news. And if you look at the first century and I think about why did God choose Israel to be the promised land? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but my theory is that Israel is the crossroads of three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe.
It's right
and
there.
In the first century, actually, Christianity was spread to all three continents, right? I mean, Paul did his missionary journeys in Asia Minor. So that's now modern day Turkey. He also, Philip evangelized the Ethiopian eunuch who brought the gospel back to Africa. And then in Acts chapter 6, and then in the first century also, Paul evangelized Greece. So Europe was covered. And so all three of the continents were covered. And so that's polycentric. So polycentrism is not actually something new. It's something old. It's something which is part of the original DNA of Christianity. And so we unfortunately have made Christianity co-opted by Europe or white Westerners. And that's not what it originally was. In fact, if you think about it, Christianity was a religion of brown people, right? I mean, it was Middle Easterners who started it, right?
Yeah. Well, and I love, as an intercultural studies professor, you have insights into what's happening in China, what's happening in Latin America. And in many ways, these are some of the places where Christianity is growing the fastest. Maybe talk a little bit about what God is doing around the world from your vantage point.
Absolutely. So there's something which has happened in the last 50 years, which, you know, 50 years historically is not a long time, but 50 years for our lifetime is a long time. But sadly, a lot of Christians are not aware of this phenomenon, which is that the center of gravity of Christianity has shifted to what we call the majority world. Majority world means outside of the West. So we prefer not to say non-Western because I don't think people like to be defined by what they're not.
Right.
So we say majority world because they are the majority of the world's population. In other words, Africa, Asia, Latin America, Oceania, Caribbean, Pacific, you know, these kinds of areas. Even indigenous North America. And the majority world is now the center of Christianity. It is in the last 50 years, this has shifted away from the West. But we still somehow think that the West has the monopoly on Christianity. We think that Christianity is a religion of white Westerners, and it's actually not. In fact, if I might go even further, Philip Jenkins, the author of The Next Christendom, famously said in his book that the average Christian today is a black or brown woman from the global South, right? Mm-hmm. So in fact, I would even add someone who's young and someone who's uneducated. So let's break that down. The average Christian today is black or brown, is female, is from the Southern Hemisphere, is uneducated and poor. And so this is very different from our conception of Christianity as being older white males from the West. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this changes everything. But in many ways, this is very similar to the early church. So again, I don't think it's something new. It's actually returned to something old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love this idea. And it's important that, you know, those of us who are in places like I am, Austin, we have a lot of very progressive white folks who reject Christianity because they see it as the man, you know, they see it as Western influence. And even yesterday, I was in a conversation with a man who's a writer. He grew up Jewish, but as we were talking, he's absolutely more Buddhist in his thinking. And he comes to our church every week, exploring faith and is intrigued by what we're talking about. But I think this is important, being able to move the Western version of churchianity out of his frame of mind and really look at what does the scriptures really say and who Jesus really is. Jesus was brown. You know, Jesus was Eastern. The Jewish people were Eastern, like collectivist culture. Like there's just, if I love getting rid of barriers that don't need to be there. And embracing Western churchianity is one of those huge barriers. You have another book that I was hoping you'd show us. Tell us about this one on world majority theology.
Yeah, majority world theologies is about theologies that come out of Asia, Africa, Latin America, and to the ends of the earth is the subtitle. So, you know, I know that this may seem a little bit uncomfortable for people who are used to white Western theology. And here's the thing. If I say white Western theology, people sometimes even cringe and they're like, what are you talking about, white Western theology? This is just pure theology. And what they will say is everyone else has cultural theology. And I'm like, no, everybody has
culture. That's right.
Everybody has culture. You know, I joke that, you know, vanilla is also a flavor, right? So it's like, there's no such thing as an ice cream without a flavor, right? So, and if we acknowledge the fact that every single theology has culture, that will do us a load of good. And, but I also recognize that we don't want to go the opposite extreme and just say, oh, culture is all that matters, because then we get relativism. So this is not relativism. Here's a good analogy or illustration, I should say, which helps us to understand this. And it's embedded in the Bible itself. Have you ever thought, why do we have four gospels? Mm. Right. Well, John is a little bit different because John was written in the apostles' old age and he was the disciple who Jesus loved. And he wanted to write a different kind of gospel. But the first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the synoptic gospels because they all tell the same stories about Jesus. John is completely different, but the synoptic gospels, which means like seeing Jesus through the same lens or one eye. But if you look at these, it's like, why do we need three different versions of the same stories about Jesus? Because of culture. Mm. Matthew was looking at Jesus through a Jewish cultural lens.
That's right.
Mark through a Roman cultural lens, and Luke through a Greek cultural lens. Mm. So if you say, why do we need African, Latin American, Asian, European theologies? Because the Bible itself does that. And yeah. and sometimes people mistakenly want to conflate all of the gospels into one super gospel. And actually, I think that's less helpful. It is actually more beneficial to see Jesus through different cultural lenses, because then you get individual flavors, right? Mm. Again, going back to ice cream, you know, you want the Neapolitan ice cream with the vanilla, the chocolate, and the strawberry. You want these separate and you taste the individual flavors. I think it would actually be disgusting if you just melted all of the three of them into one. You know, yeah. I want distinct ones, and you get different things from each of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what I love too, again, is if we can go back to what the scriptures are teaching, we see the message of Jesus is actually relevant for all nations. You know, and that's really what you're describing is, you know, you go back a little bit further, unfortunately, not too far back, and Western missionaries tried to convince Africans to dress like Westerners, design church buildings like Westerners, sing German songs. You know, like if we can, again, eliminate all the parts of culture that are getting in the way of the message of Jesus, we can actually move forward. And ironically, as I said earlier, some of the white folks that are in your mission field have already deconstructed Western Christianity. I just like to encourage people not to throw the baby Jesus out with the bathwater. Like, let's go back to what Jesus really said, who he really is. And some of the pushback is actually against Western culture and not against the true message of Christianity.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you look at the different cultures that are being celebrated in the Bible, I hope that Gen Z will see that this is a positive thing,
and that
culture actually doesn't fight against Christianity. Culture is something that God values and celebrates.
I love it. Well, I'm very grateful for your time, Alan. We're going to give away copies of both of those books to those who sign up for my email newsletter at ericbryant.org. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Keep up your great work there at Biola, and God bless.
You got it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.